This is Amateur Logic, episode 209, for September 19th, 2025. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. Keep the fun going with one of ICOM's go-to rigs. As the days get longer and the bands heat up, make sure you're ready with a radio that works as hard as you do. So kick back and enjoy the breeze and make those QSOs with ease. Good evening. Welcome to another action-packed episode of Amateur Logic.
Action-packed.
I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
Emil.
Mike.
And it's great to be back here tonight. You can see we've got some things on the table here. We're going to be talking about here shortly.
I left all my stuff out here. I might have to get that packed back up shortly.
No, that's not yours.
Looks like mine.
It does kind of look like yours, that is for sure. Just the radio, though, not the rest of the stuff. We're coming up on our 20th anniversary. The October episode will be 20 years for Amateur Logic.
20 years of funness.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it was episode 209.
209, yes, that's correct. And when you only do one a month,
it's a lot of months.
It takes a while to get to 209. Well, 20 years to be exact.
Yeah, you know? So we took a long summer vacation in there.
That'll be 210, yeah. Actually, I think. Anyhow, so we're going to be having a contest celebration. Emil, you're looking a little too hard. I got a feeling you won't win it, but you can dream. Somebody's going to win it, though. We'll be back to talk about that a little later. Tommy, what's been going on?
Not a whole lot. Kind of hate to let the cat out of the bag too much. We got to play with some cool toys.
We did. We're going to be... we're not actually going to look at those cool toys tonight, though.
No, but it'll be coming soon, though.
Yeah, that video is still in the process of being edited. We do have some video, though, because Ray was here for a couple of days, and we talked about some really cool new things that he found out about at Tokyo Ham Fair. So we're going to look at that in
pretty
just...
Pretty exciting stuff.
Very.
Nice.
Oh, amazing, really, when you think about how much... how many features are going to be added. Mike, what's been going on up there?
Well, the weather has been really nice. I mean, it's too bad the weather couldn't have been like this all summer long. But it's nice that we're getting it now anyway. But not too much. My busy time at work. So I haven't had a lot of time to do other things. And I did order something recently that probably won't end up in a segment. So I'll just tell you what it is. I've had a Raspberry Pi basically since they came out, a Raspberry Pi 5, that is, since they came out. And I finally got around to ordering up a case. And while I was at it, I decided this particular case came with an M.2 interface on it. So I ordered that and a small fan heatsink. And it should all fit nicely into this case, so hopefully I'll get a few moments to put that together.
Emil, you're outdoors. Are you hunting for aliens, or what's going on there tonight?
What's been going on down here in southwestern Mississippi and in Louisiana, southeastern Louisiana, is the Ham Fest. W5SLA had their Ham Fest, and we were there. We were giving forums. We were doing it, working the doors, you name it, helping everybody, and... having some good vendor vibes, and there was a lot of other clubs visiting us this year, which was nice. They had tables at our Ham Fest. We sold all the tables and pretty much all the food, and we met some people and had some fun. So that's what we've been up to over here. We're going to see a little bit of it tonight.
Yeah, I kind of regret I didn't get to make it. Don't tell me the jambalaya guy was back.
Yeah, I wasn't. You didn't miss that part. So okay. All right.
You sold all the tables. What are you going to use next year?
Well, we still have the tables. We were allowed to keep the tables, but we do have some plans for improvement on the layout. So we'll use the same tables.
Okay.
You know, I just can't wait. I got to ask, did you do any UFO symposiums?
No UFO symposiums, no. But we did have some visitors who helped us out, and some of our audio got abducted this year again. So we'll I'll talk to you about that later.
Did you wear the aluminum foil hat?
I did not wear the aluminum foil hat. I was fully involved, but I did buy some metal products.
Ah,
okay. Well, Mike, you had a post here. I guess this was a post.
Yeah, it was a post from Electronic Products and Technology. It's kind of like a trade magazine that I get. I think it comes out monthly. But it's basically talking about quantum materials being used to replace semiconductors. You know, that could be a real game changer. I mean, the researchers basically claim that it could be up to 1,000 times faster than your conventional silicon chips in that. The article goes on to say, currently we're in the gigahertz range, obviously, for processors, but uses light. When they shine light or a laser onto the materials, it switches from an insulator to a conductor. So nothing is faster than light, and that, you know, unless we find a way to change our conventional way of thinking when it comes to physics, but it should be a game changer. So what is it? It says it's going to be in the terahertz for the processors once they make the switch over to quantum materials from silicon.
Wow. So we mentioned earlier that Ray Novak, N9JA, had been here from ICOM, and we shot a lot of video a week ago that we're currently in the process of editing, but he gave us a few tasty morsels of what's coming down the pike a little bit, and boy, my mouth's watering just thinking about it, Tommy. Look who we kidnapped.
Save me. Somebody help.
Fresh back from the Tokyo Ham Fair.
I wouldn't say fresh. Fresh is a bit pushing it.
Okay.
But you are back from it. Yes, I am back from it. Still a little bit of jet lag every now and then. Couldn't sleep last night, so.
How was the show this year?
Had a blast. Yeah. Showed quite a few new products. Some of it, I think, were just concepts and experimentation, especially in the microwave area. We showed the 905, and again, we showed the 24 gig panel antenna. We showed a 24 gig transverter, a 5.6 gig and a 10 gig horn feed. That was pretty exciting, but that wasn't what really people were looking at.
Yeah, I think I know what they were looking at.
Caught a lot of people's attention with the 7300 Mark II.
Yeah, it caught my attention. I wasn't even there.
There it is right there.
I mean, it looks pretty boring from this angle.
It looks like a 7300.
But one of the things, if you look across the middle...
Yes.
Keep going up. Right there. Your hand icon is over the word CW decode.
That's very nice.
It has CW decode in it, so that's about all that you really can see from the front. All the excitement is on the back side of the radio.
Well, let me ask you a question you cannot answer.
Okay.
It won't be the first time. You're used to it.
Yes.
What if I plugged a keyboard into it?
You're asking, can you do CW encoding in as well?
Yeah. Not yet.
Don't know. Haven't had a radio long enough to play around with it. I got to see it here for the first time. Really going to have to wait till I get my hands on it.
That would be very cool.
The huge difference is the improved RMDR and phase noise characteristics.
Oh, yeah.
They have made a 12 dB improvement on the receiver of the Mark II over the Mark I.
That's big.
105 dB typical at 2 kilohertz separation is the RMDR.
Wow.
20 years ago, when the 7800 was introduced, that was the big thing. So you're now getting that high-end performance in an entry-level HF radio. Looking at some of the other comments on the YouTubers, the low heat generation, low power consumption. on receive. The current consumption at 0.7 amps instead of almost a full amp for longevity of batteries, if you're monitoring, things like that. The one item that has the most talked about is the HDMI port.
For an entry-level radio, to have video at all.
A lot of people are saying, hey, it's great that we did HDMI instead of the DVI-D.
Yeah.
Six of one, half dozen of the other. I mean,
yeah,
you got to do a little bit more expensive adapter cable.
Well, adapters, not much. I've got two, three of them.
Tommy, you said you saw something.
Yeah, the RSBA1 software, you can control it with that. I didn't know that. I didn't notice that before.
Simplified.
What it translates to is the server is now built into the radio.
That's big. That is really big. I mean, my 7700 has that feature, and it costs way more than one of these radios.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
That's a game changer.
And what will also be a game changer will be the software out of Germany that runs on an iPad.
Yeah.
Marcus's software will be able to support the Mark II because you can then plug this directly into your router and it then appears as a device that can be controlled with his software. And I know my buddy Scott's going to tell me this is going to cause him to have to upgrade because he can walk around his house now and do FT8 with his iPad.
This is a whole different radio.
I mean, I told you I'm still dealing with jet lag and brain fog, and I mean, all of this stuff was rolling off the tip of my tongue, and now I'm struggling to remember it here today.
Yeah, but that, I mean, wow. I never would have expected that.
Dual virtual COM ports.
Okay, that's what.
And audio in, out.
So you could have your logging software on one COM port and, say, FT8 on another?
Yeah.
Or whatever else
that's,
you want.
That's pretty good right there.
Yeah.
I like that.
There's your two receive antenna jacks.
Yeah.
Receive in and out.
HDMI. USB-C. Accessory socket. Same as a standard ICOM 13 pin.
The front looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
A lot of change on the back.
Man.
I expect those are going to be flying off the shelf, too, like the original 7300 did. You remember when we went to Dayton, Georgia, and just came out? Everybody and his brother was carrying one of those around in the box.
Yep. 7300's probably got to be one of the most popular HF radios ever.
It's a real popular one for us. I think middle of last year we advertised that we'd shipped over 100,000 units.
Wow.
That's not surprising. It's a really good one, huh?
No, at the price, can't really argue with it.
And if you love the receiver of your 7300, a vast improvement over that one with the Mark II. There's so much more that you can do with this radio. If you got 100 watts in a wire and you have to travel, take your computer with you, and you can operate right through it.
Man.
Take my money now.
Please. You said you don't have availability. You don't have a target date yet.
No. I've seen a lot of speculation on we'd like to see it before Christmas, things like that. Mm-hmm. My comment is more probably see it before Dayton and Quantity. Something that was somewhat of a sleeper right next to it.
AH6?
Yes, sir. So the AH6 has pigtails on it. I've seen a few of the images on the web that do not show the pigtails. So you can connect your coax to it as well as your external antenna tuner cable.
Mm-hmm.
And this will do either a long wire or a 50-ohm load.
Oh, 100 watts?
100 watts.
So that's the big brother to my AH705.
Yes. From the looks of it, it's about the same size as our AH4 that we had.
Mm-hmm.
The AH730 is much larger.
So it gets power from the control cable, I'm assuming, right?
That is correct. Yeah, no two double A's on this one. This is the ID 5200 that we showed there. Very hush-hush about it. I mean, a lot of people are telling me, oh, I hope you're coming out with something. I hope you have a color display. And for all of those that wanted just to have a color display added to it, I'm sorry, we had to go and do a lot more.
Oh,
yeah.
So if you zoom in, George, above the 144 or 640.
Yeah.
Oh, 9600 baud, kiss mode.
There you go. Tommy noticed it.
PNC.
It's not a radio station.
And what else do you see next to the 1520?
Bluetooth.
Yes.
USB.
That's...
There's a USB-C port on it. There's Bluetooth on it. We, at least we will have SPP, which is serial port protocol, HFP, hands-free protocol, and HSP for headset protocol.
Awesome.
SD card... Wi-Fi. Oh,
Wi-Fi?
Let's see the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I see
right
it.
There.
Yeah. There's also Vox.
Awesome. There's, yeah. I've done quite a bit.
There's a lot that is on that radio.
So the guys that just wanted a color display, I don't think they'll be disappointed with this one either.
No. I don't think so. Now, there was Bluetooth on the 5100.
That was an add-on.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's That's right. Optional. That's right. I have
And it only
option.
Worked yeah. with the Android. There's also quite a few other icons along the top and bottom of it. There's an indication for picture mode. There's also across by the call sign a couple other icons showing there. So there's a lot of unknown on this.
Got a timer. Hmm. Looks like a timer or something on there, too.
Yeah. I clicked on it, but nothing happened, Tommy.
Click it again. Double click it.
And I'm not sure how many memories are in it, but take a look at the memory channels. It's four digits now.
Wow. Oh, you're right.
Now That's it's got a familiar true. Look and feel to the 5100.
Yeah.
Again, why redesign an OS, an operating system, a user interface? If it works, leave it.
And it works. It's a great radio. I absolutely love mine.
Yeah.
But I could see this in my future.
Yeah. I was thinking the 5100 would be the last dual band radio I ever needed until Ray showed up. I'd say it was worth the wait. I could operate it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
The touch screen stuff's so intuitive. Touch what you're interested in, it pops up a menu.
Yeah.
On the others. I'm sure this is exactly the same way.
This whole top row here, new stuff.
I'm just watching you two drool.
Yeah, is it on my shirt? I'm sorry.
And while we did not have a fully functioning, this one was one of those prototypes under glass. And my rule about anything that we show under glass, a minimum of 1 year.
So it looked like it was worth the trip.
Yes, sir. Now it just makes you wonder, what are we going to do for Dayton?
Yeah, I see you got a lot of options there. You
got some pretty big shoes to fill there.
If you just bring the product to Dayton, I think that'll be enough.
Well, last year we showed the bits and pieces of the box.
Right.
Then we showed the finished product.
Yeah.
Going to be a lot of people looking at that. Hopefully the 5200 won't be under glass.
Hopefully not.
That would be great. It won't be available for sale by that time.
Yeah.
But just to get it where people can touch it, see what the menu systems are, see if they can identify what all the icons are, and really start learning what the KISS 96 meant, because that's definitely not a Japanese radio station.
No.
No. They don't start with a K over there.
No, sir. And that was one of the things when I was doing the live stream with Josh. Josh pointed that out. And immediately I went to, oh, it's a radio station, KISS 96. And then after I thought about the stupid words that had just flew out of my mouth without thinking, no, why would they be showing a U.S. radio station call sign?
On 2 meters.
Not only on 2 meters, but in Japan.
Yeah.
So... I was thinking maybe an FM broadcast receiver in it, something like
that. Well, I mean...
And Josh was like, no, Ray, don't be an idiot. Look. I bet that's a TNC. Well, guys, that's pretty much it for me tonight. Well, that was a lot.
We appreciate you coming by and sharing some of your trip with us. That was fun stuff and kind of eye-opening.
Good.
Pretty excited to see what's kind of coming down the pipe, too. Looking forward to seeing someone.
So quick, because it seemed like the 7300 just came out, but
it's been a while.
No, it's been a while.
Almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. Well, I see y'all got some good folks working on this stuff. Somebody's thinking.
Oh, yeah. The guys, it was interesting. After the show, took the Shinkansen down to Osaka, the bullet train, 173 mile an hour.
Awesome.
Wow.
And then in the meetings, one of the meetings we had, we probably had 30 people in the meeting. Different engineers from different departments. Mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, just everybody talking about new products, new features. What were the impressions? What would we want to see? And it was amazing, the amount of enthusiasm and excitement that we got to see. Also, design engineers looking at how the radios look and even asking questions. What did people think about the 5200? What did they think about the 7300 Mark II? Do we need to make any changes to the front? I mean, just they're very conscious about consumer feedback.
That's good.
That's kind of what I was talking about, the speculation stuff. Bound to make its way back in there sometime.
Thanks for coming again, Ray, sharing a little insight. And as Tommy says, speculation with us. And radios. We shot some video of some radios while you were here as well.
Yes, sir, we have.
And those will be available real soon, if not already. We've got hours and hours of video here to go through.
For those that watch this and start speculating, there was nothing really new. It was more of catching up with what we've released.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest thing.
Yeah. All right. 73, right?
73, everybody. Great to be on here.
73, everybody.
It was great to see Ray again. And what he was saying there at the end, no, that was all preview stuff that we were looking at there from the Tokyo Ham Fair. The videos we recorded are on current products that will go a little more in depth than maybe out there already in the field on it. So looking forward to getting that to you soon. But does anybody feel like there's another radio in their future?
you clicked on it, but nothing happened, George. I can't get that.
Yeah. Wow. I mean,
both of them were really impressive looking.
Very.
The 7300 was already a real great little radio. For an entry-level radio and that many features, and now it's even better. Or will be even better.
I was just thinking, what a great time to get in amateur radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the ability to buy those two radios. Wow.
Yeah, the 5200. I love my 5100, but that screen and the extra features on there, really nice.
Yes. So,
yes. Looking forward to seeing what the 96, the KISS 96 thing. Maybe do APRS, maybe. I don't know. Let's see. More of that, I'm sure, will come out sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
It'll look good in my truck.
As Ray was saying, those were previews there in Tokyo. So the final product might be a little bit different. But I think of the things they announced there about it, I think you can pretty much count those are going to be in the radios when they come out.
Most likely.
Could be some other stuff, too, that we don't know about yet. So, wow. It's just hard for me to fathom what all they're doing with that 7300 MK2.
Yeah.
The 7300 was a huge jump in technology when it came out.
It was.
And another huge jump.
I steered up a little bit when I had to send the loaner one back. They sent
I know.
Playing with.
Yeah, we had them at field day when they were brand new.
I can't imagine. He mentioned the receiver is way better in that one. I want to see those specs are here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what blew me away about the 7300? You know, sometimes they have those demo props where it's basically just a case and nothing's on the inside. Because of the weight difference on that 7300 when it first came out, I picked one of those things up and I thought it was empty.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Great radios.
You ever use that waterfall, man? That thing will spoil you. Like, pretty much got to have it after that if you get used to it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Once you've gone waterfall, you'll never go back.
Is that what they say? Just think back in the day when those people went over in barrels on Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
You don't even have to do that anymore. You can just sit in your chair and do it.
Yes.
Yep.
A lot healthier.
Wow. Tommy, you had some important information you wanted to share with us here.
I did. I found this post on the ARRL Facebook group. It only takes a few seconds. Send your letter now to secure the passage of federal legislation that would grant amateur radio operators the same rights to install antennas on their property as those enjoyed by users of TV antennas, wireless internet, and flagpoles. Send to letter.org/HOA. And for more information, go to ARRL.org/HOA. Even if you're not affected by that, live somewhere that doesn't have those covenants to prevent you from putting up an antenna, put your support in to help the other hams that have those restrictions. I don't have it where I live, but I'm definitely going to go
put my name
on the list for that.
Because you never know, you know.
Well, I mean.
I hope they're successful at this.
I do, too.
All I can say about it. Because, yeah, I had never seen it put that way before that, you know, people have the right to put up a TV antenna, to use a satellite dish to receive television. But licensed amateurs can't put up an antenna in certain places.
To help an emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
I know my area, there are local bylaws preventing things like even like clotheslines. They wouldn't allow them. And yet when the solar panels came along, they were okay. You know, they're a bigger eyesore because you could see them from the front yard.
Yeah.
And in some cases, depending on which way the house was oriented.
Don't go away. We'll be right back. Fun, Sun, and QSO. Wherever you go, keep the fun going with one of ICOM's go-to rigs. As the days get longer and the bands heat up, make sure you're ready with a radio that works as hard as you do. So kick back and enjoy the breeze and make those QSOs with ease. Remote ready, contest capable, and built for Sirius Signal, step into the future of amateur radio with ICOM's powerhouse trio, the IC7760 HF digital transceiver, the ICPW2 1 kilowatt HF 50 megahertz linear amplifier, and the all-new RC7760 remote controller. Designed to work in perfect harmony, this system offers full remote operation, high output power, and seamless integration across the bands. The RC7760 remote controller serves as an extra control head, and up to 5 can be registered to the RF deck, though only 1 can be active at a time. For wireless connectivity, simply connect a commercially available Wi-Fi access point via the LAN port. Whether you're working from the shack, the field, or a remote site, you'll experience crystal clear audio, digital precision, and amplifier-grade power, all from a single, unified interface. It's the ideal setup for contesters, MCOM operators, and high-demand users who expect more from their gear. The IC7300 combines intuitive touchscreen control, real-time spectrum display, and superior signal purity into one compact rig. Built for satellite, EME, and weak signal enthusiasts, the IC9700 combines all-mode operation on VHF, UHF, and 1.2 GHz. The IC705 go-to rig for outdoor hams who love POTA and SOTA activations. A large color touchscreen with real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display for intuitive function and setting operation. The IC705 provides big radio features and performance in the palm of your hand. Enjoy HF to 50, 144, and 440 megahertz with D-Star, SSB, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM modes. For more information about all of ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today. And thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Amateur Logic. Speaking of ICOM, there is an ICOM radio up there that looks like Tommy's.
Yeah, but it's not.
But it's just like it.
I don't know. Let me check.
The IC705. And we're going to be giving that away along with, some other things you see on the table there. I won't say everything else that's on the table because I'm not giving up my mouse.
Oh, man. Or my pen.
Or my notes for the show, or we'll never get finished here. But these prizes, we'll be talking about them a little later in the show here. So,
what about this Gorilla Tape?
We're not giving away my Gorilla Tape. I don't have much left there, as you can see.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. But we'll be giving you all the details here shortly. But right now, we need to find out what's been going on down in Gator Country. I don't know
Gator
if they call
country.
It that. Yep.
He's across Set the river from email. Gator Country.
Down in the swamps, we've been having some ham fest just across the border over at the Whiskey 5 Sierra Lima Alpha Ozone Amateur Radio Club. And I just so happened to be one of the ones who gives the forums on digital modes, and we always talk about it, introduce it to some of the beginners that come and talk about what's new in some of the
and UFOs
and no UFOs yet, but and some of the things that are new. And in my segment tonight, I'm going to talk about and focus on that. We'll be releasing videos sooner or later of the whole forum, but we don't have enough time tonight, so focused in on what's new on the digital mode fronts, plus some little bit about some things I picked up at the Ham Fest.
Hello, George, Tommy, Mike, and Amateur Logic TV viewers. I was recently attending the W5 SLA Ham Fest and was able to also give a forum for digital modes. But just first, a few pictures from the actual Ham Fest. Pretty good turnout here. From one of our past presidents, it's got pictures there, had quite a few things on the tables that were appealing to me. In fact, I went ahead and bought one of the first rigs I ever had, which was ICOM's T7H dual band handy talkie somebody had on the table in very good condition, just needed a battery. Here you can see another shot from above of the table layouts there, and we sold out all the tables. Also had some testing sessions, like every good ham fest does. No doubt made welcome some new hams into the hobby there. ARRL leadership was there for Louisiana, as well as other peoples from our Aries organizations with their forums. Quite the gamut of prizes over here. I think grand prize was one of ICOM's 5100s. A few other radios. Oh, actually, yeah, quite a few radios. Some of the vendors that showed up were Chat Radio out of Chattanooga, always has a good showing, and TN07 Engineering, right from down here, with the guy there lives in Abita Springs, which is pretty close to most of us here. Of course, the sign man from Baton Rouge. I see a telescope there, not only the amateur hobbies, but amateur astronomies and other things there too, which was neat. And there's my forum on digital modes, which I'll talk a little bit about in a minute. The crowds, vendors, master of ceremonies there, Tom and his wife calling out the prizes, giving out the prizes, making it all work. Always a good time with these people here in Slidell. Some more pictures there. One of the things I wanted to talk about was some of the digital modes. I'll be posting my forum video, and the other forum video is probably from Glenn, KG5CN, as well, to share. During my forum, the digital modes were particularly the subject that I was covering. And what I'm about to show you is what I found new are relatively new from my use of them perspective in some of the digital data and voice streaming modes. And one of them you might be familiar with is FreeDV, which was originally based on the Codec 2 codec to provide, cheap communications to people offshore, the ships over satellite. You know, they don't like to pay too much and they don't want it to take too much bandwidth. So they set up the services with that codec. Well, they also released it to the amateur community for HF. Well, there's a new development. FreeDV is now using another codec called RAID, R-A-D-E, or Radio Auto Encoder, which they claim has a better use of spectrum and a better readability and also better performance signal-to-noise ratio-wise. So lots of things happening there on the FreeDV fronts, which I thought was interesting, so worth mentioning. Moving on to another subject here, we've all heard of a hotspot for all the modes of streaming voice, right? Like D-Star and C4FM, System Fusion from Yaesu, and DMR, Brandmeister's. Now, well, those are digital streaming for voice. What about digital data? Kreger here, KM6LYW, we talked about this a while back, has a hotspot that's for all the digital modes. Not just the voice modes, but the digital modes that you can put as an image on the Pi, 02W even, down at the lower performance ends of the Pis, you know, the small ones. But it's about the data, APRS, WinLink email servers and clients, WSJTX, JS8Call, FLDigi. All of this, all of these things are on one hotspot that you load up. And they give you a web interface so that you can use all of these digital data modes over HF, VHF, etc. This is pretty impressive what he's doing, and he constantly works on it. As you can see here, the latest version as of June 2025 is 1.9-4, and he just keeps it going. But the way he's got it set up in there with a web interface is pretty unique, I'm not going to lie. And it's a good idea to have the digital data modes as a hotspot all in one Pi device rather than, let's say, the voice ones, the voice streaming ones like Pi Star and WPSD. So give that one a look. Thought that was neat. And he's always updating it, which is why I was talking about it in my forum. And finally, the WinLink system is using and has been for a while Vara FM. The difference lately, or I can't really say lately because he released it about 5 years ago, but getting around to using it on my side, this function of having a digipeater capability added to his software, along with the actual speeds that it's capable of in wide modes, is pretty impressive. I didn't realize it until I started using it with Glenn. We started testing some things on how quick it actually is. Both efficient use of the spectrum and speed and size of packets that it auto-negotiates pretty much based on the conditions and things. But one of the pieces I learned from this is how fine you have to be at making sure your equipment will pass wide signals, kind of like what we used to remember with the 1200 and 9600 baud modems of old and codecs of old, or audio devices, I should say. It's the same idea, except that it does work on normal pass bands and you know, things. The only thing I noticed I had to worry about was the level sets in my signal link and my computer's sound card in order to get it to play nice. For it to negotiate an entire connection in one, literally one pass, a one swipe of packetized exchange, I thought was very impressive. So give it a try. Give it a check. See if there's anybody running an FM, Vara FM digipeater around your area. Those are the things I have to share, which I felt were pretty nice and neat to check out for you digital mode aficionados out there. I did happen to pick up this trailer hitch mount from TN07 while I was there. Planning on using that for field day. Also picked up one of my first radios I ever had. Somebody had out on a table from another club that bought a table from, I think, the Lafayette area. My first ICOM T7H rig that I ever had. So nostalgia kicked in. I had to have it.
Once an ICOM, always an icon, man. I couldn't pass it up. Had it in perfect condition. Just needed a battery. And it's a good little radio, man. Good little rig. Yeah. In the old school ICOMs, the dual band. This first one, I remember standing out in my backyard as a technician with my roll-up J-pole on a, you guys remember, this is when I joined, the PVC mast I stuck outside and built and sent that video into you guys. So first rig, got one back. I sold it a while back, but I found one at the Ham Fest, had to pick it up.
It looks like it's in pretty good shape, too. It's not beat up.
It is. Whoever had it kept it immaculate. I got to hand it to him. But also picked up the TN07 mast mount, which goes into my Class 5 receiver, my hit.
Nice.
Yes. And takes about a 2.5-inch mast and holds it very steady on that mast. Plan on using that for some upcoming POTA and field day, no doubt.
In SWOTA?
In SWOTA.
Yeah,
gotta
with
get
the
them
truck.
Gators on the air.
The Rougarous.
The Rougarous. There you go, Mike. I like it. Rougarous on the air. Rota.
There you go.
Wow. And let's see. You had a post here to talk about as well, but seems like a familiar subject, maybe.
Well, it's the same thing. More pictures of this Ham Fest and all the vendors in there. But I'm going to use it as an opportunity to shout out Tommy. You remember Irving, KD5REQ?
Uh-huh.
Longtime friend of the show. He used to check into our nets all the time. I remember that. He saved the day. We had some audio fun and issues at some of our forums, and he was there with his GoPro and like a champ, recorded that video sitting right in front row. 36 gigs later, I got my forum with audio. So shout out to Irvin, man. KD5REQ, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I miss talking to him. He used to check in on the nets all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, when we were having nets.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows? We may have another net one day. We'll see.
That looks like a really nice Ham Fest.
Always is.
It looks like you had a really good turnout.
Yep, they did. At our social meeting last night, the club social meeting, they were revealing some, they did really good. And a lot of people gave us inputs, and we always try to improve for the next year. So we were talking to the board, and we'll go with what we're going to do better next time.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hate I missed it. Maybe next year we'll try. Maybe I plan a little bit farther out next year. Won't plan a vacation the week before.
That would.
Yeah.
You got your priorities just all mixed up this year.
I know. I did. Live and learn.
Well, I got something to talk about. I had an actual email. At least one. No. It's spelled differently. Sounds the same, but spelled differently.
You got an email and an email.
And it means something different, too. So this was an actual email from an actual viewer.
That guy.
Yeah.
The actual viewer.
It was one of them. Yeah.
You have to be more specific.
Okay. I will be more specific here. George. Have just watched your video on using the DTMF board to control some LEDs. I clicked on the link for the schematic and sketch. The computer could not find the link. Can you help me out to set up a DTMF control for a repeater? 73 Buford W4HVW. And yes, Buford, I can help you out. And the first thing I did after receiving this email... There's a special place on the internet where you can go to learn about these things.
Yeah.
Maybe what we talked about on any particular episode.
Oh, that's out there?
Yeah, the amateur logic.
I didn't know we had that.
So you're the one who does it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forget. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I wrote him back and I said, hi, Buford, there are two different versions of that DTMF project. It was on two different episodes. You can find which two episodes right there at amateurlogic.tv/wiki. You should be able to download either or both of them from the Amateurlogic TV Wiki at the links below in the email. This is the actual links right here. This is for the first version of that project. The name of the episode was Turkey Time. This was a November episode. I don't remember what year that even was. But there's the link right there, episode 123. Right after that, I learned of an amazing library for the Arduino, which is what I use on this project, that allows it to talk. So the next month, which was our 2018 Christmas special, I had another version of the project, episode 124. This time, the DTMF control project talked. And there's the address for that.
That would probably have been around December of 2018.
That was very likely. You know,
just a guess.
Just a guess, and there was probably some fun and mayhem in there involving some of our northern compatriots there. I'm sure, I don't know what Mike did that year because I didn't go back and look at the episode, but I guarantee you it was something ridiculous. Oh,
I remember the rum butter.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. That was the whole start of the whole, what do we call that, half-speed theater?
Movement,
I guess you could say.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, that rum butter stuff was good.
Yeah, amazing.
It was really good.
I'll never forget that line that Emil said. You know it's the right proof when it melts the fork.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, that was one of.
I'm going to say it in half speed. You know it's the right proof when you melt the four.
That's got to be one of the funnest projects I ever did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The DTMF thing?
Talking DTMF thing. The rum butter, you know, it helped.
Yeah.
But I didn't use it in the project.
Wasn't that the one that claimed that something was on fire?
Yes. So okay. We won't say any more about that. But go look
that's
up
classic.
Episode 124 of Amateur Logic, and you'll see what we're talking about there. Well, Tommy, I guess we're going to have to talk about giving away some stuff here.
Yeah, time to start working towards clearing this table off.
Yep.
Let's stop you guys.
Look at him. Look at him.
He's got the vipers.
You disqualified, man.
Give us just a second. We'll be right back, and we'll tell you how you might win this.
At the end of each month, it's Amateurlogic's Ham College, the new show for those new to the hobby and those wanting to get into amateur radio.
Which of the following is a purpose of the amateur radio service as stated in the FCC rules and regulations?
That inductor and capacitor form a tuned circuit. That's how you tune the radio to the frequency that you want. The English language.
We lived in town. I liked it. I listened to mine a lot. It was really cool because you didn't have to have a battery to power them.
There's our homemade telegraph station. We can use it for long-distance communications. Oh, like, 3 feet here?
Across the table.
The answer is B. Voltage was named after Italian physicist Alessandro Volta.
We can see we're generating a little bit of electricity there. It's DC.
It's always great to go back and get a refresher.
It sure is.
A lot of that stuff, if you've been a ham for a while like we have, you don't really think about a lot of that stuff that often.
They didn't have electric screwdrivers in those days, so that's why we're not using ones.
That's why we went primitive with it.
Yeah. So let's see if we can hear anything when we fire off our spark gap transmitter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we didn't build anything or blow up anything today, but
the night's still young.
Next month, we're going to be celebrating 20 years of Amateur Logic. That means we got to get busy putting that show together because it's going to be a blockbuster.
Blockbuster?
Yeah.
We already did that to Emil.
Well, we did. So let's see what we've got we can give away around here. It's the ICOM IC705 multimode portable transceiver, a base station radio with performance and functions in the palm of your hand. Packaged in a compact and lightweight portable size, whether you're taking your hobby to a soda, poda, or some other on-the-air location, the IC705 is the go-to rig. From HF to 50, 144, 440 megahertz, you can enjoy a variety of bands in the D-Star DV, single sideband, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM modes. The 705 receives continuously from 30 kilohertz through 144 megahertz bands, and then it picks back up for 440. You can also enjoy FM broadcast and airband reception.
The IC705 employs an RF direct sampling system where RF signals are directly converted to digital data, then processed in the FPGA, field programmable gate array, making it possible to simplify the circuit construction as well as reducing internal noise that can mask weak signals. Also has real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display. Performance seen with IC7300 and the IC9700 spectrum scope is at the tip of your fingers for field operation. You can quickly see band activity as well as finding the clear frequency, all in the compact radio and not as an expensive add-on. Scroll mode automatically keeps operating signal within the scope range.
Emil, why don't you tell us about the large color touchscreen display there?
All right, George. The large 4.3-inch color TFT touch LCD, same size as the IC7300 and the IC9700, offers intuitive operation of functions, settings, and various operational visual aids, such as the band scope, waterfall, and audio scope functions.
Mike, what about that one-touch FT8 mode?
Well, George, the preset memory offers smooth FT8 mode operation. You can start FT8 mode operation just by selecting the FT8 from the preset menu. Up to 5 preset memories can be stored.
And the radio has an included battery. It's a BP272, the same high-capacity lithium-ion battery as the ID50, ID51, and ID52 handheld radios. Or you can feed it with an external power supply, 13.8 volts DC. You can use that for operation and charging of the BP272 battery. Maximum power output's 5 watts. In portable mode, if you're running off the battery, you get approximately 3 hours of operation time. It's perfect for 5-watt QRP as well as 0.5-watt QRPP operations, or with the external 13.8-volt DC power supply, you can get up to 10 watts.
You can utilize wireless LAN Bluetooth technology for linking and remote control, true wireless operation. The optional VS3 headset enables more comfortable operation via Bluetooth.
It's got GPS, an internal GPS receiver. Receive transmit locations via DPRS, near me repeater search and scan, QSL recording with metadata, and internal clock synchronizations.
The micro SD card slot enables the storage of user profiles, QSO recording, TX voice memory keyer, RTTY logging, GPS data, screen capture, firmware upgrades, and programming.
And it's also got a micro USB connector that acts as 2 COM ports, radio control plus audio. The IC705 can be charged via that micro USB port as well. And it's got D-Star functions, doesn't it, Tommy?
It does. Enjoy the latest DV mode features with the IC705. Have direct access to the D-Star network with terminal access point modes. Additionally, the IC705 has the photo share feature introduced with the IC9700. Share photos without the need of a computer with other users with an IC705 and 9700.
And enjoy portable operations with the included HM243 programmable speaker microphone, perfect for operations with the IC705s, safely secured in the optional LC192 backpack. user assignable buttons, put functions like frequency and volume adjustments at the tip of your fingers without removing your backpack.
This guy is an IC 705 owner.
Yeah, I absolutely love mine. I've said it on here before, but I'll say it again. It's absolutely my favorite radio. If I had to pick only one radio to have, that would be the one.
Yeah.
But thank goodness we haven't got to that point yet. So, but anyway, I'm not going to open it because it makes a lot of noise on the microphone. Yeah.
So
the backpack's very handy. Radio goes in the top right here.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Peekaboo.
Convenient. And, yeah, the radio is mounted in there with a 1/4-20 mounting lug to keep it from falling out accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
User adjustable internal panels in there where you can put in extra accessories like extra batteries or antennas or other items that you're going to want for an afternoon of soda operation.
Or motive.
There are other options for that radio as well, like an external tuner.
It's an AH705.
Okay.
You're going to switch to this.
There you go.
AH705 is a little bit close, but that's it. Runs off of two AA batteries. There we go. That's more better.
Latching relay idea was a great thing. Somebody was really thinking.
So I've used this thing quite a bit, and I've still got the same two AA batteries that I had. They're not in the unit, by the way. So no leakage. But it's a great little tuner. It tunes really fast. I love it. But that's an optional accessory.
And so you can tune wires. Can you also tune a 50-ohm antenna?
Yeah.
We're going to include a few extra things to go along with it. You know, we mentioned that this would work with 13.8 volts DC of external power. Our friends at Gigaparts are going to supply us with, or they already have, it's right here, an Intellitron PS2230MAB 30-amp switching power supply that has power poles on it. It's compact, lightweight design without compromise on performance. It's a high-efficiency switching power supply tailored to reduce noise, especially in communication settings. It has a noise offset control on it and ensures that any incidental noise is swiftly countered. If you're picking up spurs or anything out of the power supply, you can change, I believe it changes the operating frequency when you turn that control to put any noise that's generated out of band. So
it's pretty cool.
Doesn't interfere with your receiver.
Neat idea.
13.8 volts DC fixed voltage, output voltage regulation under 2%, short circuit protection and automatic current limiting up to 30 amps, which you would never reach with this radio. 30 amps maximum, 20 amps continuous output, ripple below 80 millivolts peak to peak at full load, and it's got a meter with two functions, voltage or current. And it's available exclusively from Gigaparts, the Intellitron PS2230MAB. Tommy, you might want some more things. Like if you got a radio, it's kind of handy to have an antenna as well.
It is. So we've got this Explorer POTA 33 portable handheld 33-foot telescoping carbon fiber POTA mast. And that thing weighs like almost nothing. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So do you need a portable antenna mast that's both lightweight and reaches impressive heights? Then the Gigaparts Explorer POTA 33 is a perfect fit for you. Here's why. Ultra portable, made from carbon fiber, the POTA 33 is incredibly lightweight, making it easy to carry around, and it is that for sure. It's ideal if you're setting up your antenna on the go, especially for POTA or SOTA trips. Impressive reach, despite being compact, the POTA 33 extends a full 33 feet, giving you significant advantage when transmitting and receiving signals. A higher antenna generally translates to better range. Carbon fiber stone for strength and rigidity. This ensures the mast can withstand the elements and accidental bumps while remaining stable. Mighty and small, only 27 inches collapse and less than a pound.
Feel that.
Less than a pound.
I was checking it out earlier. It's amazing.
So how do you attach a feed line to that thing?
It's not an antenna. It's a mast.
So you put your wire on the...
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, got it.
Yeah. You just extend it out. There's a little eye hook on the end of it. You hook your wire to it, whatever type you'd like.
I was just thinking, because it was carbon fiber and not just fiberglass, that you could load it up as an antenna.
No. Hopefully it's not conductive. I'm sure it's not.
It's pretty amazing, honestly. I think it literally weighs like, it's almost nothing. It's,
yeah.
Like that other one we've been using, it's like, it's massive.
Yeah. Wow.
It's pretty cool. I like it.
Especially when you get that thing extended to 33 feet.
And those are available exclusively from Giga Parts as well. And they threw in one extra thing here, Emil. That, I don't know.
But wait, there's more again?
Wait, there's more?
Oh, wait.
You might like one of these.
Would that be the Intellitron CK158RC dual time zone atomic LCD clock with ID timer, George?
You read my mind.
No, look at that. So, the Intellitron CK158RC is a versatile and precise dual time zone atomic clock designed with amateur radio operators and travelers in mind. The clock features two independent displays that are kept perfectly synchronized by radio-controlled time signal, ensuring exceptional accuracy. Key features are dual clocks operate independently, shared time base keeps both clocks perfectly synchronized, radio-controlled for accurate timekeeping, independent DST 12 24-hour format, and time zone settings. Shows the hours, minutes, and seconds. Desktop stand or wall mountable. Runs on two AA batteries. Compact size, 3.5 inches high, 6.5 wide, and 0.75 depth. Dedicated UTC GMT time zone option. Built-in 10-minute station ID timer. That's nice. Large 1.5 LCD displays with soft backlight. Both clocks can be configured with an independent setting for daylight savings time, time zone, and 12 24-hour display format. This is especially useful for tracking local and UTC GMT times simultaneously with a dedicated option for the UTC GMT time zone.
Holy mackerel, look at those controls.
Oh, yeah. Got some stuff on there. Each clock features a large 1.5 LCD display with soft backlight showing hours, minutes, and seconds for easy readability. A standout feature is the built-in 10-minute station ID timer, I agree, which helps amateur radio operator comply with FCC regulations, as we all know. When activated, a front LED LED indicator lights up to show you the countdown is in progress. When the timer reaches zero, a buzzer sounds for 3 seconds and an LED flashes for a minute, alerting you to make your station ID. The timer can be restarted at any time with a simple button press and can also be stopped by pressing and holding the button. The clock is powered by two AA batteries, not included, and can be used on a desktop with its built-in stand or mounted on a wall. For added peace of mind, the Intellitron products are backed by 2-year warranties.
Thanks, Giga Parts.
Yes. And, of course, thanks, ICOM, but... How could you go about winning this stuff? Well, there are a few rules. First, let's recap what we're giving away. It's an IC705 HF 50 megahertz, 144, 440 megahertz, multimode portable transceiver, a Gigaparts Intellitron PS 2230 MAB power supply, the Explorer POTA 33, portable 33-foot carbon fiber mast, and they make other heights as well. That's not the only size they make. And the Intellitron CK158RC dual zone atomic LCD clock. Well, to be qualified, first, you must be a licensed U.S. or Canadian amateur radio operator with a U.S. or Canadian shipping address.
Only one entry per contestant. Sending more than one entry disqualifies the applicant, so please don't send but one.
Yeah. The winner is responsible for any taxes incurred.
Winner agrees to the use of his or her call sign and name in promotional and news items related to the contest.
And contestants must not be an employee or affiliate of Amateurlogic, ICOM, or Gigaparts. And you can see the disappointment in Emil's face there.
I've never been called an affiliate before.
No.
But I guess there's always a first time.
Yep. How can you enter? Well, you send an email to contest2025@amateurlogic.tv. In the subject line, put your call sign. Only your call sign. Include your name, call sign, class of license, and address in the email message. We don't harvest these emails. The only purpose is for the contest, and we'll only look at the one that actually wins by a random drawing. And, of course, share that with the people who are going to ship out the prizes to you. And then all the emails get deleted. But only enter once.
Submissions must be made between Friday, September 19th, which is today, and Monday, October the 13th of the year 2025.
And the way we're going to select a winner is by random number from the entries received. The winner will be announced on the October 17th episode of AmateurLogic.tv.
If it's determined that the winning entry does not meet the qualification requirements, another winner will be chosen by the same method.
And the contest rules and information are posted at AmateurLogic.tv/contest, which is what we're looking at there right now. It's void where prohibited. The IC705 transceiver supplied by ICOM America, and the accessories supplied by Gigaparts. So there you go, the 20th anniversary AmateurLogic.tv sweepstakes. Someone's going to win. Might as well be one of you, not one of us.
No, I'm not going to win one of these, but I think I'm going to buy one.
Yep. So it's... I recommend it. I mean, wow. It's a perfect complement to your setup there.
Yeah, I know. I could strap that to my little backpack.
Yep.
Sorry, Emil.
Less than a pound. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really
is. It's worth its weight in gold.
Well, I don't know about that. A pound of gold would be, that'd be a lot of money. Well, before we get out of here, a couple of things we want to mention. If you need some wardrobe for the next HamFest, there is a good place that you can find that and also support the show by doing it, by spreading the word, shop.spreadshirt.com/AmateurLogic for all your AmateurLogic and Ham College swag needs. The next Ham College is going to be next Friday. That'll be Friday, September 26th.
Yep.
We are studying for the technician exam there. So I know, most people watching this show are probably already licensed. If you're not, it's a good opportunity to get some studying in, find out how much fun ham radio can be, and go get licensed. If you are already licensed, what should you do?
Yeah, if you're already licensed, come join us anyway. It's a good chance to get a refresher. It's a lot of fun. Join us in the chat room. There's a good bunch of people in there. And some of those things, they kind of follow along as we're asking the questions and going through the logic of them. And anyway, it's very interactive. It's a good time.
And there's one other thing you should do.
What?
I'm surprised you didn't jump all over it. None of you did. Tell your mom and them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you know somebody that's interested in getting the license, send them to Ham College.
Yep. We've got a lot of graduates out there now.
I don't think my mom's going to get the license.
Well, but Nam might.
And them, that's right. And them might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Tommy, any final thoughts before we get out of here tonight?
No. Just be sure and get your contest entry in. And if you don't get the autoresponder, check your spam folder. If it's not there, then email us before you send the, another one in.
Please. Yes. Yes. Yeah. If you've sent it and you don't get it.
It's worth saying again. Figured that part was worth saying again.
It is. So. Yes. All right. Email, have you got any final thoughts for tonight?
You know, you gotta keep it
cheap. That's a custom shirt there.
I tell you what, Glenn does a good job on some of these things. I would flip it over and show you the back. It's got cost compliance officer on the back.
Oh,
not
awesome.
Some financial terrorist,
no,
but
no way. Awesome. Does it really?
It does, yeah.
Very cool.
Classic, man. Mike, any final thoughts from up there?
No thoughts from up here. I just hope this weather sticks around for a little bit longer. I kind of had a project in the back of my mind. I wanted to put an HF rig in my truck, but I never got around to it. So now that the mad rush is over and things seem to be dying down a little bit at work, I might be able to get some time to do that before the snow flies.
Cool. I'll be interested to see how the RFI is in that vehicle.
Well, you know, it's funny. I did a quick check because the truck actually still has an AM radio capability in it, and I put it on AM on the AM band in between channels, and I was just listening to static, and I was putting the truck through its paces. Of course, for those who don't know, it's a hybrid, so it has regenerative braking and hybrid capability as well. And I was waiting to see whether or not I could pick up anything on the AM radio regarding interference, and I couldn't. Hmm. So maybe that's a good sign. I don't know.
That sounds like a good sign, yeah, because you would think an AM radio would be pretty susceptible to any garbage.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. All right. Get your entries in now. If you don't remember the details, amateurlogic.tv/contest. You can get them all right there. And with that, we'll see you next Friday night. Those of you who join us on Ham College.
And the ones that aren't, we'll see you next month. Then we'll be announcing the winner.
Yep, on October the 17th.
7-3,
everyone.
7-3, everybody. Good night.
7-3. 7-3.